colour at my estate. If you give me a colour in halacha at my estate.
By wise book.
That's a very interesting story. He said he was once giving a shiur in London, and he was giving a shiur. The shiur went very well. And after the shiur, people were asking him questions, and it dwindled down. And finally, the last person who remained in the shiur asked him a question on the shiur, and he said to him, "Tell me something. Do you know so and so in Manchester?" He said, "Yeah, I do actually." He said. He said, "Can you tell me how he is?" "Yeah." He said, "Baruch Hashem is fine, he's doing well and everything." "And how are his children?" He said to him. He said, "Yeah, Baruch Hashem is doing okay and everything. And Panosa wise is alright?" He said, "Yeah." So he said, "Thank you very much." So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Look, he asked me so many questions." He said, "I'm going to ask him a question." He said, "Now tell me, you asked me so many questions about this person. Do you mind if I ask you why you asked so many questions?" He says, "I'll tell you the truth, that person's my son." Rabbi Yehuda said, "I don't understand." Rabbi Yehuda Yonah said, "I don't understand. It's your son, and you asked me all these questions." He said, "I'll tell you the truth. Many years ago, we had a bit of machlokas, a bit of an argument, and unfortunately, since then, we haven't spoken to each other for a long time. So I don't know what's going on with him, and I'd find out behind the scenes what's going on. I don't do any more, unfortunately." Very sad. So Rabbi Yehuda Yonah said, "Look, he's going to try and sort something out." So he goes back to Manchester and he phones up this person. And he says, "Excuse me, I've just been to London." And he says, "I've spoken to someone there. You know I'm talking about, don't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Look, this can't go on. This is not a system. This is not a way of going." He said, "Tomorrow I'm taking you down to London, and you're going to hopefully make shalom." I was hooing and howling, and the other guy said, "I'm picking up tomorrow, 9 o'clock. And I'll take you down to London." Okay. He phoned up the father. He said, "Tomorrow about 1 o'clock." It was in Hendon, I think it was. He said, "I'll be ready to come down and take you to what you call it, to your father. Are you in this?" The father said, "Of course I'll be in." Kid said, he drove down. So it was very apprehensive as he drove down. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to be? Anyway, so he got nearer towards there. And about 1 o'clock, he arrived at the place. And they both walked up the garden path. They knocked on the door. And you could hear from the inside the footsteps coming towards the door. And all of a sudden the door opened and the son was facing the father. Yehuda Yonah said, the man said, all of a sudden the father went out to the son and gave him a big hug. And it was a very emotional mix together. So he said, he went away from there. He said, "I'll come back in another hour, 3/4 hour, and see what's going on." He went away. It's mostly what he said, that embracing, when the father went for the child, that love is the same love HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got for us. During the year, we do many things wrong. We get ourselves distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the thing is, what happens is, we're so far away, we remove ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there waiting for us to come along. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands are open for us to come. That's the beauty of Yom Kippur. It's a Moed Gezach. We don't realize Yom Kippur. I mean, of course, it's not an easy day because we're fasting. But that the beauty of Yom Kippur is, one has to learn, one has to appreciate that the day is the day of the Rebbeinu Shem, the Kirvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the highest. I mean, that's nice to be true, is a special thing. I mean, Yom Kippur is the height of it. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Yom Hashem Selachti Merecha," that's the height. That's a very special thing. So let's look at a few things of Yom Kippur. He also said, which is going to lead on to the next thing, he also said once, he was once on a plane. Coming back from South Africa, I think. And he said, what happened was there was a bit of trouble on a plane. And they said that they're going to have to make an emergency landing. There's no other solution, but they have to make an emergency landing. Now, I said, the emergency landing is quite scary, because they tell you, first of all, that they have to empty all the fuel out. So they have to circle into the sea and empty all the fuel out before they land. So he says, you know, what goes through your mind then? It's very interesting, he says. I mean, obviously people tell you different stories, but what went through his mind at that moment was, you know, you think of all the petty arguments you've had in the course of the year, and you think to yourself, is it worth it? It's like a truth, you know, where we argue sometimes on very small things, very miniature things, which are not really worth arguing. But I think put things into perspective, and sometimes think to yourself, is it worthwhile the arguments that we're doing? That's what Yom Kippur is about, it's time to do tshuva. Now, there's a big machlokes when it comes to Hilchos Yom Kippur and tshuva. I've had this problematic for a long time. I spoke to a Rav yesterday, actually, who helped me out. I'll tell you what was interesting. There's a big machlokes which is known between the Chofetz Chaim and Rabbi Saul Salanter. The Chofetz Chaim says in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Chofetz Chaim says, "Amodei Gezeira." The Chofetz Chaim says, if someone speaks Lashon Hara about someone else, so if it caused no damage at all, then it's only an Aveira ben Adam Lamokim. Only, I'm saying, it's an Aveira between Adam Lamokim. It's an Aveira between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself, which has to be sorted out. If, unfortunately, it caused damage to the person, then it's much more serious. So the Chofetz Chaim says, that becomes benon l'chaviro, and you have to go and ask the person for forgiveness. So Lemaise, it says the Chofetz Chaim, this is how the story goes. The story goes that the Chofetz Chaim went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter for a haskom on his sefer. And he went approbation, so Rabbi Yisrael Salanter looked at the sefer, and after a while he checked it. He said he's happy with, when the Chofetz Chaim came back to him, he said he's happy with everything besides one thing. The Chofetz Chaim said, what is it you're not happy with? So the interesting thing what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you've written everything very well, it's fantastic, but one thing I can't understand, you wrote there that if someone speaks Lashon Hara about someone else, then he has to go along and tell him what he's done and ask him for mechila. I said, what right have you got to upset that person? I mean, imagine someone comes along and says to me, someone told me it actually happened to him, actually. Someone says, someone comes along to me, let's say, for example, says, I hope you don't mind, but during the course of the year, I said, you shouldn't go to the end of the day of Teruwe. He's got it all wrong, the halachas, he's quoting all wrong, better not to go. Yeah, someone says. So then, as he goes during the course of the year, so people didn't come to the shir. Then he comes during the course of the year, there's Erech HaShabbos, for example, he finds out we're quoting from Erech HaShabbos. No Kiddush himself, all from Erech HaShabbos. He comes back, he realizes he made a big mistake. So he comes to me, for example, he says to me, I hope you don't mind me telling you, but I made a big mistake. I told a lot of people not to come to your shir, etc., etc. It's very upsetting to the person. So Rabbi Sosland said, what right has he got to upset the person because he wants to do tshuva? It's a good kasha. It's only a kasha. So apparently the Chofetz Chaim said, you're 100% right, I understand what you're saying, but Rabbeinu Yonah, as always stated in Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah says that in order to get to tshuva, you have to ask the person for mechila. That's how the story goes. The thing is, it looks like many poskim take on, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Many poskim take on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, like you're saying, and they, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, you mustn't say what you did. You should go up to the person and say, look, I hope you don't mind, but during the course of the year I said Lashon Hara about you. Are you mocha me? Well, the guy would say, yes, probably. Yeah? So I always had a problem with that, so I can't understand that. If someone comes up to you, for example, yeah, and he says, look, I hope you don't mind, will you be mocha me for Lashon Hara spoke about you? You say, yeah. Now, if you know what he really said, would you be mocha him? Yeah, the good chance not.
That's
why I said. You understand? So, how does it work, this thing?
Yeah.
Anyone got an answer for me? So, I saw a fat this kasha last night. It's an interesting answer to me. So, I heard the kasha. So, a fat said to me like this. Very interesting what he said. So, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch says, if someone upsets someone else, he knows about it. The Shulchan Aruch says, you have to go to him and ask him for mechila. What happens if he says he doesn't want to be mocha you? So I'm sure also you go a second time. What happens if you go a second time? He says, I'm not mocha you. You go a third time. If you go a third time and the guy says, I don't care, I'm not be mocha you, you know what Shulchan Aruch says? Ain't no zochel, it's finished. You don't do more. So you're a puzzle. What does that mean? That means you've got a mechila. It must be, because if you haven't got a mechila, Shulchan Aruch can't say, leave it. So you see that when a person makes an effort to do something, as long as he's made the effort to do what he's supposed to do, then the Rebbe Yisrael says, look, you've done your efforts, I'm mocking you. So he said, over then here as well, if you go up to the person and you don't want to tell him what you said because you're going to upset him, there's a reason why you're not doing it, as long as he says it's mocha, that's good enough. It's a chiddush. But that's how it works.
What
if
he says no
knowing
what you did?
What?
He says no knowing what you said.
Yeah, that's awkward. Yeah, that's very awkward. Yeah, and you have to say, I mean, is he, no, say you'll find it more problematic. I tell you, it makes it even worse. You have to be careful. I don't know what. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, if he knows you said that, you might have to be straight open him. Yeah, but if he knows what you said, there's no. You have to be open with him. The thing is, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy to mocha someone, but one has to realize, like we said in the story with the plane, yeah? You have to realize these things are petty, really. I mean, it's not petty always, but clapping the real thing in the world, a lot of these things are insignificant. It's not a major factor. Most machlokes, 95% of machlokes in Ala Maisa, that's how it goes, are not mamish critical. Yeah, it goes more and more. A person has to be strong, the Maisa, and counteract these machlokes. It's mamish, it's a moment that a person could stop machlokes, it's a tremendous thing. A person makes shalom, it's an unbelievable thing, mamish. It's fantastic, especially with ladies. A person can make with his wives and people, anyone who's got machlokes, and a person can sort it out. It's a tremendous thing to do, and it's definitely appreciated, definitely a thing. And that's what Rabbi Yisrael wants. That is the idea of Yom Kippur, that all of Klal Yisrael are shalom with each other. That's a tremendous thing. So if a person could do that, that's certainly a correct job. I say that Chofetz Chaim himself says You see, I don't know what the difference is. The whole time, if you embarrass the person by telling him, you shouldn't say it. You know what the whole time means? That the whole time speaks out clearly. Mishamura, that if you embarrass the person when you tell him what you've done, then you shouldn't say it. Just ask him generally to be mocha. So you have to know what that means. Why is that different than the whole time? But Lamaisa, that's what comes out. So generally speaking, more Hashem, most times the machines that go on, we were wondering in Korea, I was like, you can have sometimes a person, for example, during the course of the year, he'd shepherd someone. A person gets upset for half an hour. Afterwards, they make up again. Do you have to ask Mechila for that half an hour you're upset him for? But I said, now he's forgotten about the whole thing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, that's the halacha of Mechila. So Mechila is an important thing. It's the halacha. And Master Mishra speaks out that even though really Mechila should be done the whole year round, if you upset someone, you're meant to ask for Mechila straight away. That's really what's meant to be. Even so, the Mishra says that can, if you can't manage, then you can put it on hold. When it comes to Erev Yom Kippur, though, there's a chil of Hashem to Torah. A person has to be clean before Yom Kippur. There is a chil of that before Yom Kippur comes, a person has to have made sure that he's got no, what do you call it, arguments with anyone, he's all sorted. The only time a person is not mechuyti moichel is by moichti shemra. A person spread a false rumor about someone. Shulchan Aruch says there one is not mechuyti moichel. Even so, it's still meritorious to be murder a person, but one's not obligated to. It's a nice thing to do. That's the halachas of mechila. Sorry, it's a special thing. It's kind of madrigas. It's a special madrigas. It's a nice thing to do. Sorry.
If I spoke,
what's
not about
Moichel?
That way it covers you.
Yeah, but you have to know what it means. I'm telling you, if you know yourself, that you upset
it. I know I did, but I said, if I spoke, would you Moichel? He said, yeah, if.
Yeah, because he doesn't know the story, but it's.
You know, it's not a problem, Mechile.
It's a toss. It's a Mechile of a toss.
Everything that comes to you and happens to you, the
mass
is
all
day.
Oh, that's how a person look at it.
So whether you're Moichel or not Moichel, so that person is just a conduit to give you that tap, whatever it is you have to give you that tap.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end of the day,
that's how you look at it, but it's very hard for people to do it. People are very hard, some people are very hard to do it. You're right. I remember once I gave a shiur to ladies, actually, and one of the ladies said to me, I said, I'm not moichel the teacher who did something to a child. So it would be me that moichel. When he did something to a child, I can't be moichel. So I said to the person, have you ever spoken to the teacher? She said, no, she can't speak to the teacher. I said, look, you can't have a complaint against someone without speaking to the person. That's the first thing. It's not fair. The first thing you have to do is speak to the person himself who's concerned. So you have to know where you're going from. But once you try to make an error, generally most of these machlokes can be sorted out. That's the truth. Okay. Yeah, sometimes, unfortunately. Yeah, yeah. Okay, the next one is also very interesting, a Neiros for Yom Kippur. That's a very interesting thing. I also haven't got this 100% clear. It's also very interesting. Why, sir? There's a Chiyutah's light, a number of lights on Yom Kippur. Why? First of all, there's a normal Neiros that we do for Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a bit of a problem, though, over here on Yom Kippur. And that is, on Shabbos, normally, when we light the candles, we've got plenty of electric lights going on, so we don't really need that candle light. But what do we use a candlelight for? We put it near the place where you're eating. And Chazal say that if you put Neiros in a place where you eat, it enhances the meal. Moshe, you see by a bristle, you have a bristle in the middle of the week. Very often, or a chasna, very often you put candlelight on the tables. It gives some sort of elegance to the meal. It enhances the meal. So many poskim say that when a person is, what do you call it, a person is lighting lights at a table or near the table, that itself on a normal Shabbos enhances the meal. That's okay to do. When it comes to Yom Kippur, hopefully, there's no one eating there at the table. So now the lights that you light there, sorry?
Other reasons, not just for eating.
What other reasons? Yeah, but you've got electric lights normally. Normally, most places have got electric lights going on already. So now, these candle lights that you're lighting are not really beneficial in that way. What's the Kovodom to?
Like you said, to make it enhances the room.
But that's when you're eating. That's a Kiddush. That's when you're eating, you could say it enhances the thing. That's a very big Kiddush. If you're not eating there, that's a very big Kiddush. So some poskim say, interesting, what you. Some poskim say that what you should do is like this. Some poskim say that, I find this a chiddush, I don't know if anyone's masking to this. Some poskim say that a person should get long lights, and that is that when he comes home from shul, he should sit by the candlelight and, let's say, learn or daven by the candlelight. That's called using it. It's a chiddush, I must say, because that's a chiddush. Even though normally you shouldn't maybe learn by candlelight, you might interfere with it. On Yom Kippur's Amos HaDim, we don't worry about that. So the Maisa, a person's allowed to sit by the candlelight, and he's allowed to learn from a sefer or read from a sefer using a bit of candlelight. What you could do also, but this is the machlokes, and this is what I think one of you were saying before, is there's a big machlokes, can you make a broch on electric lights? So there's no There's no eating at all on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, but there's another thing, there's another aspect we were saying called Sholem Bayis. A person, Chazal made two chiyuvim, two reasons to light lights in the house. One reason to light lights is that a person enhances his meal, and the other reason why a person lights lights is that a person shouldn't trip over things in his house on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So we normally cover that with electric lights, but on Yom Kippur, if you haven't got the reason for eating, so maybe we can make a Sholem Bayis light. But how can you do that? Lamash, let's say you light lights in a room where it's dark, where you're going to go into, or in a corridor where it's dark, you light the candlelight there. So then you're having hanor from that candlelight because it's helping you be able to go and see in that corridor. Or that's one way of doing it. If you don't want to do that, then many poskim hold you can make a brach on electric light. So what you can do is then, according to those poskim, what you can do is you switch the electric light off before you make the bracha. Then you put the electric light on. The electric light's going to stay on the whole time. And that electric light is going to be used to help you see where you have to go. It makes the whole light, the whole room nice and light. You can put the toilet, anywhere you go, Lamai says it's good. So those are two options one could do. Either one puts the candlelight in the room where it's dark, and therefore the candle is having some benefit. You can put it in the kitchen, for example. You switch the kitchen light off, put the candles in that room. So Lamai says, when you come in from shul, make sure they burn to when you come in from shul. When you come in from shul, at least the kitchen has got some illumination from the candlelight. So you're having benefit from the candlelight. That's good to do. If you want to rely on a poskim, so you can make electric lights, it's much easier. Anywhere in the house you can light electric lights, put it off before you make the brocha, switch on, make the brocha, and that's good. Then that's one set of candlelights. There's another set of candlelights, it's called a gesunter light, which a person lights every young couple, or well, not young couple, even old couple, any couple, they light a light called Ne'ah Bori or Ne'ah Chaim. Then that's number two. Number three, it's a bit like this. Number three is also, if one of the people haven't got a parent or parents, then it's called a light in their yacht site, which is also lit for that. That could be shared. Let's say both spouses haven't got parents. You can light one yacht site light for both sets of parents. That can be done. Yeah, as far as I know, you can do that for them. And then there's another thing which many people do, and that's called a ner l'havdolah. That's a tricky halacha. This that is that on Motzi and Kippur, when you make Havdalah, it must come from a ner that's burnt over the whole of Yom Kippur. So 1 minute. So it's quite right, but there's two things. Not only must it be a ner that was used for lit over the whole of Yom Tov, but it should also be a ner that was lit for the purpose of having a light to it. A yahrzeit light wasn't lit for that purpose. It was lit for a different reason. So ideally, one shouldn't use a yahrzeit. If one is stuck, let's say one hasn't got a ner havdalah, and they've got a yahrzeit light, the best thing to do is take a match or a candle from that yahrzeit light. What's the first light? Ne'ah Bori. No, also, because that wasn't lit for Havdalah. It wasn't lit to give light, really. It was given lit for another reason. So the best thing to do is really take a... Sorry? Yeah, if you like, the best thing to do is light a third. Yeah. That's right. A strong minute. What many people do is they light a third light for their Havdalah. But if that goes out, let's say, for example, that went out and you haven't got it, or someone didn't light it. Yeah, it's funny, you're doing both. I don't know if you can do it for both there. I don't know if it works on both. Yeah, the mice is being lit for them and Shom. It's not really being lit for Ne'ah Havdalah. You're saying it is, it's not. It's being lit for them and Shom. That's what you're doing it for. In that case, there, not so possible. So again, so you light a Ne'ah, a Gesunter light, and then Shom. And then it's ideal to write a Ne'ah Havdalah. If you haven't got a Ne'ah Havdalah, the best is to take a light from the Ne'ah Bori or the whatever it is, and then use the have in mind for a Lahoya, and you can use that for Havdalah. Yeah, but you're not going to have normal. Most of them have got a Ne'ah Shom, yeah? They're all gone. That yahrzeit candle is what? Yeah, but what are you lighting it for? Are you lighting it?
Yeah, two.
One for yahrzeit and one Ne'ah Shabbos.
Oh, that's what you should do. If you do them, I think. Let's say that Ne'ah Shabbos goes out.
Take from another light that wasn't on.
Ah, so you take from a yahrzeit light that was on, and you can use that one. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop there. Very good. Gracias, but everyone, a good event show, yeah? Yeah, sure, yeah. Good year. What was the problem?